God, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are already in this place. God, I thank you that you are already making yourself known, that you are already extending your love, your grace, and your mercy and your goodness to us. And Lord, I pray that this morning that we would receive the word that you have for us and that we will feel convicted and compelled to live in accordance to your word. I pray, Lord, for this time. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would let my lips be none and let your voice be speaking. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to thank Pastor Mark and Pastor Ellie for giving me this honor. I was telling Pastor Mark yesterday, I feel like every time they ask me to share the word, I feel like the weight just gets heavier and heavier in the best way ever, because it's such an immense honor. And I know that God will judge me extra when I get to heaven. And so you're off the hook, but I am not. And I want to thank my husband, Henry, who, yes, since day one of meeting Henry, something that made me realize, okay, he is the one for me, was when he said, I don't want you to ever feel like you are any less than or that you cannot speak up because you are a woman. And when he said that, I was like, whew. Marry me now. And here we are 8 years later, married. And so if you're single and you're just waiting for that man, he is there. Don't settle, ladies. My girlfriends, don't settle. Amen. The past couple of like month and a half or so, our church, we've been in this season of what it means to count the cost, counting the cost of following Jesus, counting the cost of generosity. And as I was praying about, okay, Lord, what do we count the cost? And the Lord just dropped on my heart, count the cost of loving others. And I was like, ooh, because we all know it's not easy to love others, especially when they're irking you. And it's not easy to love when you're feeling icky, right? It's always easy to love when you're like happy, but is it easy to love at all times? And have we counted the cost? Like, do we know what it means to genuinely love others? And so I just started thinking about some of the things I love. I love our church. I feel like you all are the cream of the crop. And like Pastor Ellie said yesterday, how we rally together to love and to support the Burton family is next level. I love our church. I love the people of our church. I love the fact that we will one day have a building of our own where we can meet 52 weeks consecutively, have midweek services. I love what God is doing at Exchange. I also love coffee. I love good Korean food. I said good Korean food, not just any Korean food. I love sushi. And so if you want to take me out and you want to, you know, spend quality time with me, coffee, sushi, good Korean food, you can't go wrong. I also love to work out. Actually, no, don't judge me and be like, oh, dang, she works out. No, I love how I feel after I work out. While I'm doing those burpees, I'm just like, no, the coach is angry or something, but I love how I feel after I work out. I love my family. I love the word of God. I love very pretty and sparkly and shiny things. I love my kids. I love my husband. And the list goes on. And I'm sure you can also think of some things that you love as well. And as I take a step back and I think of love, like, why do I love these things? Like, what about it do I love? Why? And it's because there's an emotion, there's an experience, there's an encounter, there's something that connects me to X, Y, and Z that makes me love what I love and who I love. And so I'll go out on a limb and say, to say that I love someone or something without having experienced it would make a little bit of a very little sense, unless you're Eleanor, my six-year-old. I was cooking the other day, and I was using an ingredient that she really either hadn't had much of before, or she hadn't had at all, and she goes, oh yeah, I love that, Mama. And I'm like, wait, you do? Like, what do you love about it? She goes so confidently, I don't know I love it. I'm like, oh yeah, Eleanor, we clearly need to work on what it means to love something and how we know we love something. But can I tell you something that she actually loves? She loves water. Give the girl a splash pad, give the girl a pool, take her to the lake, take her to the beach. You are now her best friend. Take her to Great Wolf's Lodge for a week, and now you are her favorite person on earth, AAA. That's how you're gonna win her over. Loves water. She is Moana in the flesh. She is the Southeastern Moana, Southeast Asian Moana. And the water, Henry and I joke about it all the time. We're like, the water, it just calls her. Like how Moana is called by the water. Eleanor is called by the water. She loves water play. She also loves people very deeply. She loves Henry. She loves me. She loves her baby sister. And watching her love our 10-month-old, yes, Emma Rose is now 10 months old. Watching her love her is so sweet and it's so tender. And I know that as Eleanor gets older, she's going to come to realize that loving other people is going to cost her something. As she gets even older, she's going to know and realize that loving other people the way Jesus tells us to love is going to cost her a lot. My key text for today is John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. And in context, Jesus is about to have the Passover meal with his disciples. He had just gotten done washing the disciples' feet, and somewhere between then communion, Judas has left the table. And this is what Jesus says. He says, "So now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." I read these verses for like the past month and a half straight, and I felt the weight of what Jesus tells us. And I read this morning, and I still feel the weight of what Jesus is telling us, because loving others will come at a cost. So what will it cost? In John chapter 13, and later on I'll read John chapter 4, the word that Jesus refers to when he says love is agape, right? And I don't know how familiar you are with Greek. I have not studied Greek, but this is from the teachings that I have done, is that in context in Greek, there are different words that we use for love. And so they use phileo, which is like a brotherly, affectionate love, like a friendly love. They use an eros love, which is a romantic love that is only reserved for Henry, right? Jillian, that is only reserved for Rob. And there's agape, which is sacrificial, surrendered, and committed love. And that is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, love one another, agape one another. And so when Jesus tells this to his disciples, he says, agape one another, he's commissioning them and he's telling them, hey, be active in how you are with other people. Hey, be intentional in how you spend time with these people. Hey, be surrendered, be sacrificial, and be committed to one another. And he tells them that how you love, how you agape, is going to prove to the world that you are my followers. I don't know about you guys, but the pressure, right? You feel the weight of it. You feel this commissioning and you feel this weight of what Jesus is saying. And so if that's the commission, and if that's what Jesus is telling us, I want to make sure that I know what it looks like. And I want to make sure I know that the weight and the burden I feel when it comes to loving others is going to come at a cost, and I need to count the cost. So what will it cost? In the context of discipleship, walking alongside others, what will it cost to love others? And it's going to require gusto. Everyone say gusto. Gusto. And yes, you need gusto, like the zeal, the zest, and the energy, and the enthusiasm, but not just the, yes, I love you kind of a gusto, but we need grace upon sacrifice, time, and of course, truth. So gusto. We need grace, sacrifice, time, and of course, truth. It's not limited to just this, but these are the things that I wanted to share this morning. It's silly, but I hope you walk away feeling like, okay, I need to love others with gusto. And we remember it's going to require and it's going to cost us grace, sacrifice, time, and truth. It's going to require grace because, believe it or not, you and I are sinners. Believe it or not, you and I are going to mess up. Believe it or not, there's going to come a moment where I fail you, where I upset you, and where you are disappointed in me. But does that mean you stop loving me because of my humanity? No. That's where we extend grace. We extend kindness. We extend mercy. We extend this unmerited favor of forgiveness and say, hey, I got you. I'm with you. You make mistakes, that's okay. We brush it off, let it go, let bygones be bygones, and we show grace. Sacrifice. When it comes to sacrifice and loving others, we're yielding, right? We're yielding what I want and what my preference is for the other person. I was telling Autumn this morning, I was like, Autumn, if anyone is counting the cost of loving these youth well, it's you. She is sacrificing. You ask her, would you want to be sitting here on a Sunday morning? She would answer yes. But you know what this girl does? She takes the youth out so joyously, so joyfully, serves them on a Sunday, and she listens to the podcast on Tuesdays. She is counting the cost of loving others, and that requires a sacrifice, and that is what Autumn is doing for our youth this morning. We commit with our time, and we show that we love someone by counting the cost of our time. We live in an area where time is money, money is time. Agree? I don't know how some people just do things in 24 hours. I'm like, I just need an extra, like, Lord, I'm like, even if it's 15 minutes, give me an extra 15 minutes. But no, you have 24 hours, I have 24 hours. And when it comes to loving others and we count the cost, it will require our time. It will require quality time. There's a study that I read, and they said that it takes roughly 50 hours, 50, for two strangers to become like acquaintances or be considered a friend, 50 hours, right? If you do the math, that's an hour a week. So if I am only seeing you on a Sunday for an hour a week, it's going to take about a year before I'm like, oh yeah, you're my friend. Okay, let's not do that, let's not do that. You flip it and you spend 2 hours with someone in that same week. In about 6 months, you're like, oh yeah, that person, I consider them a friend. This is what a study says. Jump up to 200 hours of quality time is the amount of time that people felt that it took for them to feel like they were now close friends with someone. And so we cannot forget and we cannot take away the element of time and how time is something that will require us to love others. If I did not spend time with Henry, I would not have fallen in love with the man. If you do not spend time with someone, you cannot say that you are loving them or building a loving relationship with them. Earlier in the week, Kelly spent 2 hours of her precious time with me. This woman works 80-hour weeks. She is a lawyer. She is busy, busy, busy. It took us about, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months to put a day in the calendar because it's like, no, I'm busy. No, I'm busy. And so this woman is busy. And while we were talking, I said, Kelly, I'm so thankful. Thank you for sacrificing your time to spend with me. And she said something that like blew my mind. And she was like, well, I don't see it as a sacrifice of my time because yeah, I'm giving up my time, but I walk away and I leave feeling so much better. She said, I walk away feeling uplifted. And I was like, okay, the cost is high. Sacrifice and time, those are high cost things. But for Kelly, for myself, the return was high. And so the Lord was like, hey, sometimes it's gonna cost you something and it's gonna be a high cost, but hey, the return can also be high. And so thank you, Kelly, for helping me and for spending that time with me because she's walking alongside me. I am walking alongside her. And so she gave up her time and that is what is required of us loving others. And now, oh, it's okay. Of course, truth. Whoever said that, I am with you. Because as I was preparing this, I was like, Lord, grace, sacrifice, time. Okay, I got it. But truth for me, I don't know about you guys, but truth for me is the hardest to deliver. And maybe it's because it feels most costly. Because it's like, okay, this relationship is going really well. I love my friends. I love the women that I'm discipling. I love Henry. I love my girls. But there comes a point where you're like, what you said, what you're planning to do, what you're deciding to do, how you're thinking is not in alignment with the word of God. And now we have to come in with truth. And it's not just truth of what you believe. And it's not just truth of your experience, and it's not just the truth of your wisdom, but is it in alignment with the word of God? Is it in alignment with capital T truth? And are you loving someone and counting the cost as to share with them capital T truth? And I realized that when it comes to walking along someone, and when it comes to discipling someone, when it comes to journeying alongside together in each other's faith, there's a huge importance that we cannot forget, that living in submission to the word of God, in obedience to the word of God, is going to have to take priority. And if it's going to cost you standing on the word of God, the return is going to be high. And so it's going to cost us grace. It will cost us sacrifice. It will cost us our time. And it will cost us truth. And that is what is required, though, right? I cannot say that I have a relationship with someone that is not based on the word of God. And so as you're walking alongside others, as you're loving others, as you're discipling others, right? Okay, you're counting the cost. I'm like, okay, I've counted the cost. It's going to require grace. It's going to require sacrifice. It's going to require my time. It's going to require truth. And you're doing all these things, and you cultivate this loving relationship between you and other people. And you're like, okay, now I want to see the fruit, right? Now I want to see the results. If the cost is high and the result is high, I want to see the result. But we got to take a step back. And we have to remember that just because we love others well, and just because you are paying the cost, does not mean you are going to see fruit in the way you want them to. That's very humbling, right? Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, Paul, he shares with us in context, he says, him, Apollos, and others, that they did the work they gave him. But in the following verse, verse 6, he says, I, being Paul, he planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. And so if you're in a season of walking alongside others, and I felt like Ruby and Rolando, maybe this is for you guys, but you are loving these children, you are loving these people, and you're not seeing the fruit, and you're not seeing it, but that doesn't mean you stop, right? It doesn't mean you stop counting the cost. It doesn't mean you stop loving others. You still count the cost, and you love them, and you surrender, right? We got to surrender and say, okay, Holy Spirit, you're the one that's going to make it grow. You're the one that's going to take them from point A to point B. I might not be at point B, but that's okay, because I've surrendered it, and you will make it grow. So it's the Holy Spirit who will make it grow. We do our part. Don't get me wrong. We can't just like sit there and not do anything, be like, I love you, Chico, I love you, and not do anything, first of all, and then just expect her to grow and mature. No, it's going to be the Holy Spirit who does it. Amen? Amen. At the start of my message, I shared that I felt this weight and this burden of what Jesus tells us when he says that how we love others is going to prove to the world that we are his disciples. And whew, it's a heavy burden. It's a very, very heavy burden. It's not mine to carry, but I do feel like there's a sense of responsibility that we take when we abide by the word of God. And I thought about it. I prayed about it. I ran it by Henry. I ran it by Kelly. I ran it by my discipleship group. And I'm just like, okay, no, there's something more. And I felt like God was saying, okay, your love for others will prove to the world that you are my disciples. That's one part. But there's a phrase before that that Jesus says, and he says, just as I have loved you. Just as I have loved you. As humans, I'm sorry, but we can never agape love. We can never give true agape to one another. Only God can. However, even though love is who God is, we can carry some of these abilities to love one another, right? I'm not saying that I cannot agape, I can't agape fully, but I can agape partially, because I can be committed, I can be surrendered, I can be sacrificial to you and demonstrate my love to you in that way. And in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, John writes, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." I thought about this because it's like, okay, I felt like the Lord was reminding me, the only way I can love you all just as Jesus loved me is because I have experienced the love of God for myself. It's because I have encountered the love of God that he has for me, for myself. And the way that we love just as Jesus loved us is through a direct and personal encounter with the love of God for ourselves. Just like Eleanor, she can't articulate why she loves something without having experienced it. She loves cotton candy because she's had cotton candy before. She loves playing in the water because she has experienced it with it before. She does not love things that she has not experienced. And so the same goes for us. We cannot say that we are going to love one another in agape if we haven't experienced that agape for ourselves. And so I pray that if you have yet to experience and receive this agape, this overwhelming love of God, I pray that this morning is your morning. I pray that today is the day that you receive this undoing, this overwhelming love that God has for you, and that it would be his love and his kindness that draws us to repentance. And so as you count the cost of loving others, it's going to cost us grace. It's going to require sacrifice. It will require time. It will require truth. But as you count the cost, can I encourage you? I hope you see Jesus. I hope you see that he is the one who paid the ultimate price, and that it was Jesus's death on the cross for our sins. And it was the ultimate price that was paid for love, because he loves you and because he loves me. And what sets us apart from Jesus is that we can say, I will surely die for my husband. I will surely die for my kids. Hey, you come after my kids, Mama Bear is going to come out for you. And if it means I take a bullet, I will take a bullet. But you know what? My death will not save their souls. I can die for them, but it will not give them eternity. I can sacrifice everything that I have to the point of death, but that death, it will not give them eternal life. It is only the love of Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, and the revelation of the Holy Spirit by faith that has the power to save us. And so when we believe that Jesus paid the price, we repent, we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. So just as I have loved you, love one another. And so I felt like this morning there are two groups of people that I am speaking to. And I felt like the first group is you've experienced the kindness of God. You've experienced the presence of God. But have you experienced the love of God? Have you encountered this true, this deep, this life-changing, surrendered, committed, sacrificial love of God? He says, for God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And it's the love of God that compels us to love others. And so two groups. The first group, I felt like God was saying, okay, there are people who have yet to experience this just as I have loved you. And if that's you this morning, can I tell you, there is a love that is so deep. There is a love that is so life transforming. There is a love that is so sacrificial that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, because he loves you and he wants you to encounter this love, because he wants to give you eternal life. Your action step this morning is going to be to ask the Lord, say, okay, Lord, I have not experienced this love. I have not received this love. What does this love look like? What does this love feel like? What does it sound like? I want to experience it. I want to encounter it. And if that's you, can I just encourage you? This is your day. This is your day. I'm going to invite Eunice to come up, and this is your moment. And maybe you feel this tug where you've just been hardened in your heart and you've just been so calloused in your heart. You're like, there's nobody that loves me that would change my life. There's nobody that could love me to break the yokes of depression. There's nobody that would love me so much as to go out of their way to save my life. Yes, there is. His name is Jesus. And I pray that this morning would be the day that you experience this overwhelming love of God. And your action step this morning is to take a step of faith and say, hey, I want to know what this is. I want to know who this Jesus is. I want to know who this God is. I want to know who this man Jesus, who died on the cross for my sins, is going to be, and who he is meant to be for me. The second group of people are those who you've experienced the just as I have loved you part, but there's a hesitation when it comes to love others the way I have loved you. And that's how the world will know you are my disciples. There are some of us in this room where you have been on the receiving end of being loved, and you've been loved so well, and I love that for you. But there are some of you in this room where you're just feeling this nudge where God is like, okay, you've experienced my love, you've encountered my love, and you've have this love of mine that you feel, that you know, that you believe to be real, and now it is time to love others the way I have loved you. And you have stopped making sacrifices. You have stopped extending grace. You have stopped giving up your time. You have stopped speaking to each other in truth because it's too costly for you. But we look at Jesus, right? When you count the cost, I pray that you would see Jesus. As you count the cost and see Jesus, I pray that you would see, no, there's no price too high to love others because Jesus paid that price for us already. He died on the cross for our sins as a sacrifice because he loves us. And so the second group of people, you're counting the cost. You're counting the cost. Okay, it's going to require grace. It's going to require me to sacrifice some things. It's going to require me giving of my time. It's going to require me being in the word so I know how to speak truth over my friends. And you're like, okay, but oh, my Wednesday nights, I don't want to give up my Wednesday nights. It's such a sacrifice. It's such a big time commitment. Oh, I don't want to give up my Sunday mornings. Oh, I don't want to give up. Oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to tell you to pause, take a deep breath, start where you can. And if it means you just extend a little bit of grace to your neighbor, if it means you just extend a little bit of your time spending with someone by 15 minutes, by 20 minutes, having just a 30-minute intentional conversation with someone over the phone, maybe that's what it is. But I pray that as you count the cost of loving others, that you would see Jesus, that he paid the ultimate price because he loves us and because he wants us to love others the way he loves us. So your action step for my second group is, who will you love intentionally? Who will you love agape? About a year ago, God put 5 women on my heart to agape them. And it was not like, yay, let's do it. It was. They were really excited. Don't get me wrong. They were like, yes, let's do it. But it took a lot of time, I will say, Hannah, Alana, Sierra, it took a lot of time for us to get to the point where we found trust in each other because we extended grace. We all sacrificed our time to be there. We sacrificed our agenda to be there. We spent our time and we speak truth over each other. And the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in these women's lives is incredible. It's not because of me. I might have planted the seed. I might have watered it, but it was God. It's God who's making it grow. And counting the cost of loving these women, the cost is high. But I see them flourish. I see them grow. I see them love Jesus just a little bit more today than they did yesterday. And it's worth it to me. It's worth it. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to all stand. It might get a little awkward. It might be uncomfortable, but hey, that's okay. And if you are and I'm just going to ask us to all close our eyes. If you are in the first group of people where you're like, I know who God is. I know who Jesus is. I know who Holy Spirit is. Like, I've heard these names and phrases before, but I have not encountered the sweet love of God, the love of God that would send his son to die on the cross for my sins so that I would have eternal life. If you have yet to encounter this true, this sweet love of Jesus, this love of God, can you just raise your hand? Or maybe you're in a boat where you're like, I have not, but I want to. I want to experience this love of God. I want to experience what it means to be loved someone and held by someone so deeply that the yoke of depression can break, that anxiety can break, that there is freedom, that there is life. I want to experience this love. I want to know if that there's this love of God for me. That's you. For my second group, if you're like, okay, Lord, I need to do my due diligence and love others the way you have loved. And I have not done that well, but I want to. If that's you, could you raise your hand so I can pray over you this morning? Amen. You can put your hands down. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. I thank you that as we believe, that we confess with our lips and believe in our hearts that Jesus Christ is Lord, that we will be saved. I thank you that there is salvation in this house. I thank you, God, that there are people who have encountered your love that has been so life transforming, that has been so sweet and so tendering to their souls. And I thank you that they have experienced this love, that they have encountered this love that comes from you and from you alone. And Lord, I pray that our friends who are feeling this call to love others the way you have loved, to prove to the world that they are your disciples, Lord, I commission them and I bless them in the name of Jesus. They will feel your empowerment, Holy Spirit, to walk in the ways of love, that they would count the cost of loving others, but that they would see that even though the cost is high, the return will be great, that they will see believers maturing in their intimacy with you, that they will see the lost come to be saved, that they will call people out to live out their destiny because they are being uncompromising of grace, that they are giving sacrificially, that they are spending time, and that they are yielding to the word of God and speaking truth over their friends' lives. And I pray, Lord, that as we count the cost of loving others, that as we see you, that we would cling to you tighter and tighter, because as humanity comes in the way and it blurs our way of loving others, that we would not be blurred, but as we see Jesus, that we can love others with clarity as well. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you do the work that people cannot do. I thank you, God, that your love has saved us, and now we can love others the way you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.